Thank you. Ms. Highland, I have a question for you. The marine auto sales on the spit, did you, you mentioned that? And what's the result of that?
Poor memory. It was voted down. That's right, Dave was there. Yes, we voted it down because, very sadly, we voted it down. And it was, I tried everything. Dave, you can say, I came up with every creative idea you could think of to try to slip that somewhere. And what it did was it changed the zoning and then allowed the whole spit to be able to do this. And so we couldn't really just make it, you're doing spot zoning if you give it to one entity to do. So it was really hard to not pass that. And my suggestions were after it was went down was, well, maybe there's some business in the business district, because auto sales are allowed in various districts, but not allowed in a lot of others. And if there was a church or anything with a big parking lot that could do it for the hockey association, that was my, I think, last creative idea.
Yeah, the thing is that Lithia, I think it was Lithia, approached the hockey rink mainly because of the space.
I know.
And the main thing was the location too, because
I agree.
It's right there on the main drag. And I understand, and I think they do too, that it does come down to that if you do it there, you know, you got to do it every place. I don't think it would jump up any place else, which then makes it like a spot zoning, which is illegal in the state of Alaska. I didn't hear what the planning and zoning said about a CUP, if that was...
Yeah, it's still a CUP. It has to be included in, you either have the uses that are just allowed, and then you have the CUP process, which lists all the various things, and it's still limiting. So it was so hard, I'm telling you.
Thank you, Roberto. Looks like Councilmember Smith also has a question.
So how many properties on the spit are not owned by the city that this would actually be applicable to?
I would have to look at a map to tell you that. Does anybody up there know?
Well, as you heard, Heath, that not the number, but the city would also, that if a person wanted to lease a piece of property, the city would have to lease it to them and could lease it to them for the purpose of selling vehicles. We could, because it's allowed in the marine industrial. Not that I think it would happen. Yeah, but you've still got to follow the rules.
But the city,
as much as I hate it, and I'm the one.
Oh, me too. I hated it. It was just, it was hard. It's sometimes when you're following the rules, but anyhow, that's how it went.
Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you.
Thank you for filling in for Tom there, too. The next item is Parks, Art, Recreation, and Cultural Advisory Commission. Welcome. I'll go back to that one. Okay. Jumped out of order. Took my glasses off.
Good evening, Council. Robert Archibald here from the Parks, Arts, Recreation, and Cultural Advisory Commission. So we're still looking for some people to come to our meetings and advise us on the culture. We're kind of entertaining the arts, so we're getting there. So, well, yeah, our last meeting was on March 16th. Good grief, that was my birthday. Let's talk about gray hair. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will be installing new signage at Bishop's Beach, which they... It's pretty nice, and Parks and Rec will be looking at their signage to see if we could get something similar from Mariner Park. I think it's going to be real nice. The commission's been discussing the best way to display Tessio Sisters City Art Collection. Staff, Julie, is checking if there is interest at Pratt Museum to display some of this artwork. We realize the Sister City artwork consisting of 39 pieces needs to be on public display, and work continues to accomplish this. The commission approved funds to purchase small art identification plaques for the city art collection. So this will identify everything that's on the art for the city's collection. Small plaques, not expensive, staying within budget. The commission wants to thank the council for approving the purchase of the property adjoining Jack Gist Park. That's going to be a big plus for that area out there. The commission will be reviewing the Homer non-motorized trail plan of 2004. Staff has explained this process, and we will be reviewing that, so that should be interesting. April 22nd is Earth Day, as we have heard. City Cleanup Day. So one thing I didn't hear was that there's going to be lots of folks and kids out on the road. So please drive carefully with extra caution. That's going to be a very busy day. Lots of people out on the road. Park staff is opening city campgrounds as conditions allow, so you'll see campers out there. And the commission also wanted to express their thanks and gratitude to all the folks who have worked so hard on the South Peninsula Athletic Recreation Center. This is a project that demonstrates what a community pulling together can do. And that's all I have for you tonight.
Thank you very much, Archibald. Thank you for serving on the commission. I'm going to back up now and ask that we have our Economic Development Advisory Commission come forward if you're present. Okay, well, I guess I was right. I skipped it, but anyway. But they're doing a wonderful job. I've kind of heard a lot of things, positive things going on with them. So Port and Harbor Advisory Commission. Welcome.
I am Bob Hartley with the Port and Harbor Commission. I just got done with getting a knee replaced, and this is the longest I've sat in one position for a long time, so I had to hobble up here. Okay, we had our meeting on March 22nd. All members were present except for one position that needs to be filled still. There were basically three new items on the business. The first one was the election of officers for the coming year. Kathy Ulmer will continue as the president of the Port and Harbor Commission, and Steve Zimmerman will be the vice president or chairman. We had two other items on new business that we went through. The land allocation, as it pertained just to the SPIT properties that we had, and recommended approval of those. And then we started consideration of the new Port and Harbor Paris tariff revision for something that's needed to be done for several years. It's in its present form is quite confusing and sometimes contradictory. And so the harbor master has gone through and done an excellent job of revising that. There are not any great changes. It's just that it's in a format that people can look at and understand, and I think that's it. That's about all we did.
Well, thank you. You all had a Winter King tournament down there too.
Yes, we did.
Thank you for.
We got that. I wish that the weather cooperated a little better, but it was still a good one. Otherwise, I would have been out there if it had been a little warmer.
Well, you probably had your knee getting replaced.
Yes, so. I did.
But welcome back. Thank you for your report. And the Cannabis Advisory Commission.
Nothing yet. We have a meeting coming up the end of the month, I think.
Okay. So the next item is public hearings. But before we go to public hearings, would you all like a break? It looks like you would. So let's come back together at 8 o'clock. Take a 10-minute break. It's 8 o'clock. I'd like to call our council meeting back to order. And we're at that point on our agenda where we have our public hearings. The first item is item A, Ordinance 17-16, an ordinance of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, amending Homer City Code 5.24.020 to identify lighted free-floating luminaries as fireworks and prohibit the sale and use of these luminaries within the corporate city limits of Homer. Introduced City Manager, Fire Chief, introduction March 28, 2017. Public hearing and second reading April 10, 2017. Is there anyone from the public that would like to come forward and speak to this item? 17-16. You have 3 minutes. Please come forward. Make sure your mic's on. State your name and sign in.
I'm Ralph Crane. I live here in Homer. I actually just had some thoughts on this resolution. First, I have to say that I'm generally opposed to bans on a lot of things, and this one is no exception. When I look at something as serious as a ban, when a regulation is going to tell me I can't do something, especially something that we've been doing for a lot of years, I look at what reason are we looking at it? What's the history? Or what's the potential cause? I don't doubt for a second that this Ordinance 1716 is well intended, but it's not without consequences. One of the things that a ban does, certainly, is it pushes things into another jurisdiction. You ban it here in Homer, you take it off the spit, for example, the only place that I've ever seen people flying sky lanterns. Some of it made the front page of the papers when the Burning Basket event goes on, so forth. We push those things over to another jurisdiction, and in this case, the spit is a pretty safe place to do that. So maybe as we look at what is the history, what generated this, what is the potential danger to our community, and is the ban the only way to take care of that, or is that the best way to take care of that? The threat of floating fire, as it were, with a slight breeze, there's no question that's a threat. Is it a manageable threat is the first question that comes up. I have quite a bit of experience in dealing with regulations involving fireworks, from commercial fireworks to personal fireworks, especially around holidays and so forth, rocket engines, hobby rockets, with science clubs, with individual scout groups, you name it. People that want to go out and do like little sciencey things, and they have a lot of fun doing it, but it's regulated and it's managed. And I'm thankful to say that with the exception of one time when somebody did an unpermitted rocket launch, the experience was good when it's managed. And I have to question whether the luminaries and sky lanterns, as they are, can't be regulated rather than just banned. The exposure threat when one of these things lands has been mitigated through some products that are available. The concern about the ecological effect of floating stuff coming down and sitting there for generations and like shopping bags and whatever else is used as a sky lantern, that can be mitigated. And in fact, products are available where that is mitigated. The question is it mitigated to a level that's acceptable within the city short of a ban?
Thank you. We're off. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward and speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public testimony. Is there a motion for the adoption of Ordinance 17-16 by reading of title only for second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Been motion and second. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Smith.
So, can I ask the chief a question?
Sure, yeah. Chief, would you like to come forward? And Councilmember Smith would like to ask a question. Go ahead.
So, Chief, what's the complication in maybe allowing this to happen on the spit and nowhere else within the city?
The complication is that once you release them, there's no control over where they go, whether they float back into town over wooded areas or across the bay to wooded areas. There's no control, and that's the issue. So
what's the typical lifespan, so to speak, of one of these floating?
That I can't answer. It depends on the fuel that's used, and probably the quality of the product that you purchase or make as to how long they're gonna stay aloft.
So to Ralph's point, is there a way to regulate so that there's a limited amount of fuel on these things and maybe a certain,
it all depends on how much time you want to commit the fire department to regulate this or to enforce it. The way it is right now, they're considered a an open flame device by the state of Alaska, which puts the onus of permitting or not permitting these on the local jurisdiction. So once we get into either permitting or not permitting that use, we open ourselves to liability if something untoward were to happen from their use.
So does the borough have any like-minded ban?
I can't speak for the rest of the borough. All I know is in conference with the state fire marshal's office that it is up to the local jurisdiction to permit them or not to permit them.
Okay. So I guess the only concern, which I think is valid, is that if we don't allow it in town, then they move outside the city limits where there's, one might say, is a lot more combustible things in a consolidated area that we might create another danger.
We can only control what we have jurisdiction over.
Understood. So I guess my suggestion to this body is that we make some kind of suggestion to the borough that they follow suit so we're not creating another problem while we're solving our own.
Thank you, Councilmember Smith. Councilmember Reynolds.
Thank you. I had a couple of comments on this too. One of my friends had released a commercial lantern and had been surprised. This wasn't on the spit, but she imagined it was going to go over the bay and was surprised how it went back into town. And she had felt pretty scared by that, the potential. She didn't realize how far it would go or how long they'd be able to see it burning. She also still had one in a package, and I read it, and it said it should not be released within 5 miles of an airport on the package. And so I thought that was just another interesting piece, that the manufacturer had several different stipulations about shouldn't be near a tree, shouldn't be, and one of the things was within 5 miles of an airport, which I felt pretty much meant anywhere in Homer anyway. So,
like the chief has, would you like to respond to that? Or?
One of the reasons this came about is we've been receiving more and more requests or calls regarding whether the legality of these luminaries. So that's in my research determined that they are legal if permitted by the local jurisdiction. In that research, I found an instance in Anchorage where a church group set off a lot of these sky candles in the area of Merrill Field, and it disrupted the aircraft at Merrill Field. And as some of them were coming down on the Glen Highway, and traffic was having to swerve around them to avoid hitting them. So again, it can be a distraction to drivers as well as pilots. So, you know, they're beautiful when they happen and they do what they're supposed to do, but there is the risk that they can start a fire or cause other disruptions to the public.
Thank you, Chief. Councilmember Struzes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief, just one question. Have we had any instances in Homer where this has been a problem in the past?
Not that I'm aware of.
Councilmember Smith.
Well, Councilmember Erickson made mention of one that was where it had happened a few years ago out by her business, and they floated over by the propane. Suburban propane there, which caused a little bit of concern. So, I mean, nothing happened, obviously, but it's good.
And I think they're getting more popular because they've been, apparently there's a popular movie where they've been used in the movie, and like I said, we've just been getting more phone calls about their use during celebrations, weddings, things on the spit. And there may be safe times to do it or safer times to do it, but there's always a risk because you can't control where they go.
Thank you, Chief. Councilmember Reynolds.
Mr. Crane's point is well taken, though, that this can force it out of the city limits and into other jurisdictions, which still affect our community and still affect, right around the area. And it doesn't seem to stop people letting fireworks off, the fact that we have a fireworks ban, so I don't know.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Smith.
So I don't know if what I said earlier made any sense or if this is just a housekeeping issue. Okay. So can that just be done through housekeeping or do I need to actually amend it? I need to amend it. So I would like, yeah, I would like to offer up an amendment to ordinance 17-16 on line 43 to move excluding piloted balloons to the end of the sentence of line 44.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, are you clear on that? The motion is to, okay, you're good. Move from line 43, excluding piloting balloons and moving it to the end of this sentence on 44? Okay. Okay, is there anybody opposed to that motion? Seeing none. We'll consider that motion approved, which brings us back to ordinance 17-16 as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Anybody opposed to ordinance 17-16? Seeing none, Madam Clerk will consider ordinance 17-16 approved as amended, which takes us to item B, ordinance 17-17. Ordinance of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, amending Homer City Code 2.04.030 to remove the prohibition on the city manager and city employees for securing or contributing money towards the nomination or election of a candidate for municipal office, and amending Homer City Code 4.10.050 to prohibit candidates from municipal office from accepting or soliciting campaign contributions from city employees or the city manager. Smith, introduced March 28, 2017, public hearing and second reading April 10, 2017. Is there anybody from the public that would like to come forward at this time? You have 3 minutes, please, for public testimony. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public testimony. And then is there a motion for the adoption of ordinance 17-17 by reading of title only for second and final reading?
So moved. Second.
Motion and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Is there anybody opposed to ordinance 17-17? Seeing and hearing none. Madam Clerk will consider ordinance 17-17 passed, which takes us to item C, ordinance 17-18. It's an ordinance of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, appropriating funds in the amount of $5,000 from the general fund balance and authorizing use of limited staff time and in city equipment for public information on the ballot proposition, including without limitation information that may influence the outcome of the election on the proposition. City Manager, introduced March 28, 2017, public hearing and second reading April 10, 2017. There is a memorandum attached at 17-052 from Special Projects and Communication Coordinator as backup. And we'll open it up for public testimony at this time. If there's anybody from the public that would like to come forward to speak to ordinance 17-18. Okay, seeing none. We'll close public testimony at this time, which then brings it back before the council. Is there a motion for the adoption of ordinance 17-18 by reading of title only for second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay. Go ahead. Councilmember Smith.
So a question for Katie maybe is that, will we have an opportunity to review that material before it is brought to public so that we might have some feedback, or is that just going to be something that Jenny was going to be tasked with?
I find that in these endeavors, getting as much feedback as possible is really important, and because we have plenty of time, I expect putting any materials, drafts in the manager's report, similar to what we did, I think, on the Hart proposition. You know, you guys reviewed statements and postcards and stuff like that.
Thanks.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there anybody opposed? Seeing and hearing none, we'll consider ordinance 17-18 approved as read. Which takes us to ordinances. There are none. Takes us to the city manager's report. It's on page 319 of your packet. Go ahead, Katie.
Thank you, Mayor. In addition to the written report, I want to mention two things. First, I want to really thank Friends of the Library for sponsoring lunch with the council member and the council members who participated. We had Councilmember Reynolds and Erickson today, and in the past, I know Councilmember Adderholt has participated. We are going to suspend that until September, which is, I think this is maybe year two of lunch with a council member, just because with summer participation ebbs. And so you get a break, and I'll bust out the sign-up sheets in the fall. The second item, not in my written report, that I wanted to touch base with council on, Assemblymember Cooper mentioned, and that's House Bill 132 and Senate Bill 14, which does a number of things, and I have to admit I haven't studied it that closely, but Alaska Municipal League has contacted me about it, and Representative Seaton's office has contacted me about it. One of the things that it does is limit local municipalities' ability to control, regulate, license taxi drivers and chauffeurs. And right now we have a very simple regulation process in the city of Homer. They register with the police department. There's a background check that's done, and they get their vehicle inspected, and there's proof of insurance. So it's like the most simple, you know, this isn't New York City where it costs you like $200,000 to have your cab license. I think it's $150 or something. There is a local control concern that I have if the legislation passes as written, that would take that power away from municipalities and the state, take that responsibility away from municipalities, so there'd be no regulation. And, you know, a lot of municipalities have weighed in on this legislation. Frankly, I asked the chief about it months ago, and you know, I didn't spend hardly any time on it. Chief's like, oh, there's no way that, you know, has legs. We moved on to other things. I think even Councilmember Adderholt said, you know, do we need to research this? So I guess this is a kind of what happens when you get caught in the end game. But we've been asked for our input on that. And, of course, I don't feel like I can say the council thinks this because you haven't had the opportunity to weigh in formally on that. So I would like to at least respond that, you know, there are concerns have been raised in our community about the local control issue. You know, there are a number of amendments that are being floated about that would, I think, satisfy that local control. I mean, local control is kind of is one of those tenets of, you know, municipal and local government is having local control. So, you know, if council's comfortable, I will respond to Representative Seaton's office that we can't take an official position because the council hasn't weighed in on it, but we can let him know that concerns have been raised, and we would need more time to make that determination. It's, yeah, legislative process.
Councilmember Adderholt?
I agree with that approach, and I wonder, I mean, I know we're at the end of the session, and it may be already a done deal by the time we have our next meeting, but maybe it would be, if it isn't, it might be worthwhile having something on our agenda for the next meeting so that we can be more official about it.
Councilmember Smith?
Is this something that we could add to the agenda for tomorrow's work session?
Well, we could certainly discuss it at tomorrow's work session. There's no formal agenda for that except for items before the legislature and a long list of said items, but you still can't take action.
Right.
So if you're going to suspend the council member lunches, maybe we could have fishing with the mayor during the summer.
On the mayor's boat, free of charge?
Yeah, well, we'll have to work on that. Anyway, thank you for your report. So then the next item on the agenda would be the the bid report there on page 329. Any questions on the bid report? Okay, seeing and hearing none. The city attorney report, there is none. Committee reports, employee committee report. None. American with Disabilities Act Compliance Committee, Councilmember Adderholt.
We meet next week.
Thank you. Police Station Building Task Force report. Okay. They meet.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. That the disabilities one on Thursday?
Sorry, we meet this Thursday. My brain isn't working.
Councilmember Struzas?
Thank you. The police station building task force, how often are they supposed to meet?
They're going to be meeting almost, it's up to them, but they owe us a report at the end of May. So they need to get meeting, and I believe they are. They've got their full composition. Councilmember Reynolds, is that a question, or just the way you're holding your pencil? All right. So that takes us on to pending business, and we have already addressed item A. So therefore, we go on to new business, where we've added memorandum 17-055. We pulled it from the consent agenda. Just find it here. So 17-055. It is, okay, the memorandum regarding the appointment of Mike Stockberger to the Port and Harbor Advisory Commission. And
it was the one on the cannabis commission?
Yeah, you're right. I circled.
It's one memo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Stockberger to the Port and Harbor Advisory Commission and appointment of Garrett Garot and Grant Garot to the Cannabis Advisory Commission. And we pulled that because we had another application. And so is there any discussion regarding memorandum 17-055?
I don't know if we can separate them, because I definitely want to see Mike, get reappointed to the Port and Harbor. And I think we should let these two brothers work it out, which one would sit on the commission the way brothers decide things. And then we can, then we can have the appointment. But I don't know what is totally legal here.
Is there a motion? Would it be okay, Madam Clerk, if we separated the appointment of Mike Stockberger to the Port and Harbor Advisory Commission?
Yes, it would be. Please put a motion on the floor for the approval of the memorandum before you start.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve memorandum
1705.
Second.
Second.
I'm not at.
And there's a second. Okay, then. Would you like to make an amendment now?
I would like to amend the motion so that we approve Mike Stockberger to the Port and Harbor, and that we postpone the appointment of the two brothers to only having one seat available for the two of them, and then bringing up this second person.
Which would be Ralph Crane?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Okay, we'll consider memorandum 17-055, the amendment approved as amended, which brings us back to memorandum 17-055 as amended. Is there any opposition? Or is there any discussion? Any opposition? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll consider memorandum 17-055 approved as amended, which then takes us back to resolutions. And there we have item K, 17038, was pulled from the consent agenda. And so that one is resolution 17-038, a resolution of the City Council of Homer, Alaska, amending the Homer Accelerated Roads and Trails Program Policy Manual, adding sections for project eligibility and funding for sidewalks, eliminating the provision for debt service ratio, and editing for readability and consistency. City Clerk, Planning Commission. Is there, let's see, and then there's memorandum 17-028 from the Deputy City Planner as backup. Is there a motion for the introduction of the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
I had a couple questions really on the memorandum, and then I wondered, the HART is kind of a big deal, making any changes to HART, and I was just wondering if it would be worthwhile postponing a decision on this resolution and actually having a public hearing on it at our next meeting. So those are my topics.
Any additional discussion to what Councilmember Adderholt suggested? Seeing no discussion, is there? I'll go ahead, Councilmember Smith. I guess I didn't see your.
I think there's always value to having public hearings on the things that we do within the city, so I think that would be appropriate.
So would somebody like to make a motion
to postpone? Can I ask a couple?
Sure.
Well, one is, there's a statement in here on page 278 that with increased pressure on HART for major road construction and repair, council may want to consider requesting more definitive language from the voters, and that is about project eligibility. That's just sort of a one topic.
I'm glad you brought that up, Councilmember Adderholt. I really feel like the ordinance that council passed, you know, a few meetings ago to ask the voters to add the word maintenance does exactly that. If that passes, that will change the HART policy manual, because you will then have voter permission to spend HART money on some of those projects. So it's a line that maybe has been blurred in the past. We really try to stick to. The Planning Commission has said, you know, you guys, it's worth revisiting this. And I think that's exactly what the October election will do.
Okay, so that's really what that was about, is kind of what we're doing in October. Okay. One other comment on page 278, there was intended to be a sample grant application and scoring sheet attached to the memo, and that isn't attached, so that would be.
I noticed that too, and I had her send it to me, but I guess me pulling it up on my phone won't help you right now. We will include it in the next packet.
Okay, and so there, then on the last page, which is page 279 of the packet, there's a bullet item there that says, request legal review of 1704-180A. Is it still valid in current regulation? Can you speak to that at all?
Well, a little bit. What happened is we have language regarding how road assessments, lots and road special assessment districts will be assessed, because we used to do it based on frontage. But if you recall, less than a year ago, the council decided to change that policy to everyone having the same, you know, the same assessment. And so that section of code needs to be reviewed for consistency. And it's not a simple section of code. I don't know, because it's code, I suppose. So I will definitely be, sending that to Holly to make sure that it's consistent with where council is now. And I imagine I'll need to bring something before council to change that.
Okay, and I guess that was all I had. So with that, I will make a motion that we postpone. What is our resolution? Postpone resolution 17-038 to our next meeting, which is April 24th, correct? And hold a public hearing.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing, hearing none, we'll consider resolution 17038 as amended, so postponed until April 24th. 24th. Yeah. Okay, that then takes us to comments of the audience. You'll have 3 minutes. Please, if you haven't signed in already, sign in and make sure your mic's on and state your name.
Howdy again. Roberta Highland. And I just found my little booklet by Tom Durance, who's a grand old cop cowboy. And I just think this is appropriate, I hope. Keep us from pettiness. Let us be large in thought, in word, in deed. Let us be done with fault finding and leave off self-seeking.
May we put away all pretense and meet each other face to face without self-pity and without prejudice. May we never be hasty in judgment and always generous. Teach us to put into action our better impulses, straightforward and unafraid. Let us take time for all things. Make us grow calm, serene, and gentle. Grant we may realize it is the little things that create differences, and in the big things of life we are as one. And may we strive to touch and to know the great common human heart of us all. And least of all, let us not forget to be kind. I just thought it was quite lovely. And then if anybody wants some interesting reading, Google Last Frontier Free Thinkers. Quite interesting reading. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Roberta.
Hello, my name is Josh Cooper. I'm a city resident, owner of Kosas Taxi, Ryder Transport, and Ketchikab. Earlier I sent you a packet, but you probably have not gotten your emails yet. That was this morning. It's concerning HB 14, which is quickly moving through the state legislature. This bill will allow unregulated transportation services to replace our local established businesses. This will come with a loss of revenue to the city and a loss to safety for our citizens. It is my hope that you will find the time to review this information quickly, as we have very little time to act. I apologize for not having this information sooner. Should you decide, as other communities have, this bill is indeed bad for Homer, then I would ask you to contact your House representative as soon as possible. Thank you for your consideration. And I, on that email, I printed it to bring to you guys. That's it right there. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Josh. Anybody else that would like to come forward at this time?
All right, thank you guys for the work you do. Yeah, I was in the other room trying to get my thoughts together when you closed your discussion on the recall discussion and that. I spoke before in support of the spirit of that resolution 17. I don't know the rest of the digits involved in that. But try to start this out on a positive note. I want to thank the city for the excellent road maintenance we've had this winter. The culverts all, when it started melting, everything drained. The culverts were steamed out. You guys are doing a great job in the city. I've been a resident for over 25 years, and it's just gotten better and better. So thank you for that. Anyway, I spoke before in this. About this, I was in support of the spirit of the resolution 17, and whatever the rest of that was, and I spoke that evening, and I started out by saying I didn't think it was very well written, and all you guys laughed, and everybody in the room laughed. It was a real tense night, and that made me feel a little better about everything I had to say that night and tonight. I mean, that little chuckle that everybody in the room shared. To me, that was the true spirit of this town. There's no reason for everybody to be disputing, I don't think, as much as we are on all these issues. When we can all share a laugh on the same subject for totally opposite reasons, to me, that proves we all share a healthy respect for a free and democratic approach to our different opinions. My question to the Homer community is, why would you support a recall election? A recall election to eliminate council members that put forward for public debate that so many people in our small town feel so strongly about. These people spoke, the council voted, the resolution failed. Is that not democracy? I would appreciate and applaud any council member or a community member to publicly put forward for debate any subject that so many people feel strongly about, as did Resolution 17 dash whatever it is. Thank you, City Council, for your efforts. Thank you for what you do. And it's my hope that none of you will ever neglect or fear to propose for public debate any subject that any one of you or anybody in the community believes is important.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Ryan Eisenberg.
Thank you.
I guess I should put it here some more.
Yeah, if you would, please.
Thanks for what work you guys do.
I feel like I need to clarify the beginning of what I spoke about Homer feeling broken and bruised in this process. And I talked about the lupin. And lupin is an amazing flower that we will begin to see here real soon. It's one of the first spring flowers that we all enjoy in our community. The seeds of the lupin cannot take root and grow until they are first scraped by the rocks and sand and eventually broken to open to be able to take root. They do best in sandy, rocky soil because of that process. Homer's going through a rough process right now, but I believe we are strong and that we will dig down, take root, and bloom to something beautiful again. Oftentimes, it's the things that rock us and beat us and scrape us that make us stronger. I believe Homer is that. I agreed with what Poppy Benson said in some respects, but she said that Homer is a fabric that is being torn and it's not strong enough to withstand this, and I strongly disagree. Homer is an amazing community. We are strong enough for this. We will rise again. Are we going to publicly address that our community has chosen to respectfully follow the law and chosen the democratic process of a recall? I have no doubt that we will rise out of the ashes of a place of beauty once again. It is how we proceed through this season that will determine how long it takes us to get there. I challenge every member of this community to rise above the negativity and the lies. Seek the truth for ourselves, and above all, be kind to one another, regardless of the differences. Homer expects accountability, responsibility, and truth. And when you put those in line, they're an acronym that spells HEART. And I find it unfortunate that if I were to turn around and look behind me, this room is no longer filled with the people holding the red hearts who chose to come and make a statement of pouring out their support for the council members. I love that they have come and shown the support, but why leave? If you care so much about your city, please stay for the meetings. Be involved in the process of the government. Yes, there are a few here. I see you. But the room is much, much emptier than it was in the beginning. We all have to be a part of the process. But I believe that this community is strong because we've been through rough times before. This isn't going to break us down completely, but it's up to us if we pick up and we move on and continue to be good neighbors.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for waiting again until later to finish. Appreciate that. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to come forward at this time? Hello, Larry.
Hello again, Larry Sloan, city resident. Mayor Zach, you're doing a good job. I think you're running the meeting in a very fair and equitable manner. And I also think that your manner and comments are very helpful in burnishing the links of the chain that maintain the contact between the populace and the representatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Anybody else from the public? Welcome. Archibald.
So Robert Archibald again here as your representative of the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council. I would like to bring your attention to House Bill 177, which is sponsored by Representative Tarr, and it's the Aquatic Invasive Species Bill, and it's going to provides the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with a statutory authority to and fund to swiftly address outbreaks of aquatic invasive species. Now, Senator Representative Seaton sponsored this last year, but it didn't pass. So it probably won't pass this session, but it will go over into the next session. But I highly recommend that the city gets behind this bill because this is an important issue for Kachemak Bay. And I will leave this with Joe there. And so thank you on that. And you are running a tight ship there, Cap.
Well, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward? You'll have 3 minutes. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close public testimony at this time. And then that takes us down on the agenda, I believe, to the comments of the city attorney, which she's not present. Comments of the clerk?
No, thank you.
Comments of the city manager?
No, thank you.
Comments of the mayor? I know that our city clerk's going to be last day, what, May?
31st.
So let's not let her get out of here without an appreciation. We've been so appreciative of her, and she mentioned earlier tonight that she'd just like to go out quietly, but we can't let that happen. And then earlier tonight, we had the employees present at our work session. We got a lot of good information about what the employees, pay scales, benefits, and we discussed those locally here. We talked about what ifs, kind of outside the budgetary period. They appreciated the fact that we had them come and visit, and we also extended from ourselves to them to go back through their HR committee in case they had anything that they would like to hear from the city. But it is really the DNA that is the city, the employees, and they're so doing such a wonderful job. We heard comments tonight about the roads and the thawed out, one of those culverts. Yeah. But yeah, they're doing a wonderful job. We appreciate them. We appreciate the fact that they were here tonight. But we also appreciate everyone, all the citizens that were here tonight, the council members and the employees as part of a big team. But it was great. That was our first opportunity for quite a while to see the employees come out tonight. We always go through the city manager if we have anything that we've heard about to address with a city employee. And vice versa, they come back through the city manager to the council. But it's a great working relationship, and we can be proud of all of our city employees. We'll get together tomorrow. The council has a work session regarding legislative matters at, 4 o'clock? And we'll address those House Bill 132 and House Bill 177 at that time. And we meet upstairs here at the city hall. And that's it for me. Now we'll have comments of the council. Volunteers, Council Member Lewis.
Yeah, just to let you know, I won't be making tomorrow's meeting. I'm tutoring, so. And that's it.
Thank you. Council Member Smith.
Well, call me out. Just a reminder that April 22nd, not only Earth Day, but Cleanup Day. Been involved with the Scouts for many years, cleaning up a section of the highway there with the Lions, and it's good to get the young people out there and appreciating and owning the community. So love on your community. Keep it clean. Also, the police task force is going to meet Tuesday the 18th at 4 p.m. So anyone in the public that would like to be a part of that process, we failed last year at the ballot. We want to bring something forward that can be accepted and embraced by our community, and your input is going to be important so that we can do that in a way that will pass at the ballot. So I invite you to come in and be constructive and be a part of the process so that we can get what we need for the community. And then also tomorrow from 6:30 to 9 out there at the quarterdeck at Land's End, there's the meet and greet for Edison Quest Offshore, who's taking over for Crowley. And so might be, if you're interested in who's taking over the waterways and you need a little bit of confidence in what they're going to do, you might want to show up and meet and greet. Thanks.
Councilmember Adderholt.
So this last weekend, unfortunately, I was in Juneau until Friday evening, so I couldn't participate in Friday evening events. But everything that was going on this weekend in this community just reminded me how amazing this community is for its size. We were awarding Women of Distinction and Wise Women. We were recognizing lifelong learners. We had a string quartet with international acclaim at our high school theater, which is an amazing theater that we get to use as a community. Spark got finished up, at least, you know, for the time being. I mean, just all of these things that this community does, it just, and I know that I missed a lot of things that were going on. There was a fundraiser for Hoxie Parks on Sunday. I mean, this community is amazing, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. That leaves it to either one of you two that would like to go next. Councilmember Reynolds.
Well, Councilmember Adderhall kind of read my list from over there somehow. For exactly the same reasons, I just wanted to highlight some of the amazing things that were happening because we were all pulling together as a community this weekend. And that was fun as well as pulling together. Even the ones I wasn't at, I'm sure, were a lot of fun. I do want to thank the information that I hadn't heard so specifically for Homer, but I was at the 4-Acre Leadership Summit last week, so we got a lot of numbers about the contribution to the Alaskan economy that nonprofits make. And I was glad to hear the small snapshot from Homer, too. And I was actually really surprised by how large that was just from those eight organizations. And I just want to give a shout out to the Homer Mariners soccer team. They just had their first games last weekend and won 6-2 against Grace Christian, who they were viewing as one of their major rivals. And I know that Simon Dye got 4 goals. And my kid got the other 2. So go Mariners.
I would like to congratulate the North Carolina Tar Heels on winning the NCAA men's basketball tournament. It was a great event. Good meeting tonight, good interaction. It's nice to see a lot of our community come out and participate in our council meetings. It just brings a smile over my face when I see a room full of people and people who are engaged in our process. So keep it up. Thank you.